Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Our guest tonight, Stephen Bobo, founder and president of School to Prison Pipeline, and his Bobo family are with us today to discuss further the problems young people in today's society have and the underlying and unfortunate consequences of their actions. Stephen Bobo, a former correction officer, turned offender, now a strong advocate for the prevention of school-to-prison pipeline. We want to hear tonight from the Bobo team, and Stephen will be introducing some of the members of his team and himself, what they've done in their short time on this earth, because they're very young for what they're doing, and where they're going with it all. So I'd like to introduce Stephen Bobo, Danielle Andrews, and Chrissy Wilson. And Stephen will introduce each and every one of them. Okay, Stephen, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to let you take over from here on. Thank you so much for being on with us. I really, really feel honored that you're with us again. So take on.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Stephen Bobo here at Bozilla. My name on the airs. I'm here with my president now, Danielle Andrews, and the secretary of the pipeline, Chrissy Wilson. These two young ladies right here are pretty much the backbone of what I do. They book the shows. They get a lot of stuff going that I need to do. If I do something wrong, they are the ones that help me get it together. Right now, those ladies right there, I would call them the wives of my group, because they are the ones who keep me in check, make sure I do everything I'm supposed to do. Right now, we are in a process of a lot of people are doing their own thing, and I have no problem with that, because that's what this all about, this type of stuff is for, is because no one gets paid to do this. This right here is what is put on our hearts that we need to do. It's help these children, help other people in situations. Danielle has a thing she's going to do tonight also, and Chrissy can come in when she needs to, but Danielle has something really, really brought to attention that we both have brought this to attention, but she mainly knows more about it than I do. It's something that affects her, and I'll let her tell her story. It's a situation that right now is a big thing with the Me Too movement. As far as these kids, young men, need to understand that women, mothers, sisters, do not need to be getting hands put on them as far as abuse. So, Danielle, you go right in and take it from there. I am not going to chime in. I'm going to let you do this one. And if I feel you can ask me to come in. Go right in.
All right,
both.
It's the holidays, and which is very stressful for a lot of people. But I think a lot of times people think drugs and violence and gang and all of that as only contributors to the pipeline, whereas I think domestic violence and its effects get pushed into the background. A lot of the young people that end up in the pipeline have witnessed abuse of their mother, from themselves, girlfriends, whatever, and they are not aware of how damaging domestic violence is for children. People think that just because it's taking place in another room doesn't mean that kids don't know what's happening.
Sure.
You hear the thumps and the bumps and the yelling and the screaming and the crying and all of a sudden, mom's got new bruises mom's got a scratch, a cut, all of a sudden dad's apologizing a lot. Or, I knew a young lady that told me she always knew when her parents got in a fight because there were fresh flowers in the kitchen.
Right.
And I think that the pipeline is flooded, especially now, flooded with children and young adults who at some point in their life witnessed a parent or a loved one being abused.
That's so true.
Myself, I was not just in one abusive relationship, but two. My first quote-unquote real boyfriend, when you really start dating in high school, my first real boyfriend was abusive to me. And as a matter of fact, his abuse resulted in me having problems with my eyes down the line. Then after my divorce, I got involved with someone who amped it up. It wasn't just it was abuse on a level that you only see on Lifetime Movie Network. The type of stuff that, you know, you see people say, if that ever happened to me, I'd be out the door. It's more complex than that. You can't just turn and run. But there's a whole, what you would say, wooing phase that happens before the abuse happens. An abuser does not start abusing off the bat. An abuser does not start abusing after the first date. They have to woo you. They have to basically, for a lack of a better term, you have to grease the wheels. And so a lot of women that are trapped, and you know what? I'm not even going to just say women, because there are men that suffer abuse too. A lot of times, men that suffer abuse, they have a harder time coming out than their female counterparts, because female counterparts are already seen as the weaker sex, so people want to protect them instinctually. He's a man. How he gonna let a woman beat him?
Also, it's not woman on man. It's not man on woman. It's also man on man and woman on woman.
That's
a lot of things nowadays, that there is a lot of domestic violence. The young generation, the pipeline kids, as I call them now, the pipeline kids, that go through domestic violence because they have girlfriends and boyfriends, because they're not being accepted by the other crowd, as you will say. They're not being accepted by their parents. Now, they've got a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they get mad at each other and they fight. Christmas is coming, so we all know domestic violence comes up quick in Christmas, the holidays. So these kids are witnessing, just like you said, Danielle, they're witnessing the things that these parents are doing to the wives and to the husbands. And there's pots being broken, hot grease thrown on each other. They're full up on the news. They sit on the news. Their parents are being, the dad's being taken to jail because of domestic violence. Their dad's not there, then here we go again, back into a single-parent household because the dad's in jail. Now, here's the problem with that is that parents need to understand that I'm not saying you need to just learn how to take it or hide it. If you're being abused, you don't hide it. You come and get help. Come talk to somebody. That's why we have these groups. If you're involved in something like this, come out and talk to somebody. Let one of us know. Danielle has been through it, so she knows. She can talk to you. Chrissy Wilson has not been through it, but she is in the psychology aspect of going through school. So she can talk to you through it. She talks a lot of stuff. And you guys need to listen. First of all, if you have problems, I'm just saying this right now as a real cheap plug. If you are having problems right now in a relationship, male or female, that's gay or not gay, I do not judge any of it. You can come and say, look, this inbox one of us. Let us know. We're on Facebook. Stephen Bubble, StevenBobo, Chrissy Wilson, and Daniel Andrews. You can look us up on Facebook. If you want to talk to us and just want to talk to us privately, go right ahead, because I'm not going to tell nobody's business, because this is your business. This is for your safety, your protection. And you have a child with you in the household and you're in a domestic violence situation, you need to protect your child. Because I'm not saying he's going to come out and beat the child, but you know what? A lot of times that does happen.
The child is still being abused just mentally.
That's right. You're right. That's my mama.
It is mental abuse.
Mama. Right. Yeah, you're right.
That's mental abuse. That's emotional abuse to make a child witness or know that mommy is getting beat up, that
That's
daddy
right.
is getting beat up, that basically a person that they look to for protection can't even protect themselves, much less protect you.
That's so
and
true.
And that's when the kids say, I think we said several shows ago about how kids decide that they're gonna live a grown life. I think that when you put the weight of adult problems on children's shoulders before they're ready to handle it, their adverse effects happen. And one of those effects is that they do fall into the gangs because there's nothing safe at home. And the one thing
That's
that gangs
true.
And things use to lure children in is, hey, you got safety here. You got family here. We always got your back.
That's right. That's right.
And so if your home is a battle zone,
right,
but the streets are your safe zone, which one you going to go to?
That's true. And it's hard to say that the street is your strength. Is your safe zone, and you know it's not. And my thing is this, like you just said, you know, and here's another quick thing. Super Bowl Sunday's coming up, and that's the biggest domestic violence of the year, because daddy's getting mad because his team is leaving, and he's drinking, and he's partying, and he's violent, and throwing stuff. Mommy's telling him, calm down, and she catches a hand outside the face. That's what a lot of that stuff turns into. So it's right there, and the kids see this. And they don't need to see this. I'm not condoning domestic violence at all. Trust me, I'm not. But the kids see this. You have to start thinking about, oh, man, my kids are at home. You know, my kids are at home. They're witnessing this. The little boy is witnessing his mama getting beat up. So when he goes to school, a little girl talks crazy to him. What's he going to do? Oh, daddy hits him in the mouth and they stop talking. You know what I'm saying? And that's a lot of stuff, how that stuff goes. That's the pipeline version of it. And so we need as parents. We need, as people, need to understand that these kids nowadays watch us. We're being watched by kids. We're being watched by the public. We're being watched by the police. We're being watched by domestic violence. We're being watched by everything. You need to understand that it's just not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a brown thing. It's a kid thing. We're here to protect our children. But guess what? If you want to really get technical with it, and I don't like doing this, it's a lot of it is a black thing. More kids, domestic violence, more black-on-black crime. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. And I'm just tired of it. Like here in Columbus, this week, we had a man make a nuclear device. A nuclear device. You heard me. A nuclear device. And what did they do? Oh, they blew it. Well, you know what this is. Well, we're going to dispatch all type of people. That he needs psychological help. Let's do this. We do that. You know darn well if it would have been a person of color, what would happen? If it was somebody Iranian, you know what would have happened. We never heard what the age was. I heard earlier today that he was a teen. So there's the pipeline. But you will never see him in the pipeline because 9 times out of 10, he comes from Richie's side here in Columbus. So you're not going to see him in the pipeline. He's going to be in one of the best mental health institutions you can think of, nowhere near Columbus. You know darn well if it would have been, like I said, it would have been somebody of color. They would have been right under. They probably would have shot him dead right there. And he's a juvenile. So let's keep it real. I'm not trying to be racist. I'm not trying to be nothing. I'm just telling the truth. We all know. I don't care what color you are, whatever it is. You know, if you're poor, you're not in the upper echelon of the people. You're poor class. You're working not Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, plus overtime and an extra job on the weekends. You're poor. You know darn well you're not fitting that class. You know darn well no matter what happens, they're going to see you as this type of person. You're going to be in the same boat that my kids are in because they're African-American. I hate to say it like that, but that's what it is. Chrissy, you got anything to say? I'm getting off my pedestal now.
I agree completely with all you guys are saying. It's a real epidemic because children, I've worked in the classroom for over 20 years, and I start to know right offhand if the children are getting beaten, if they see it. Because if you have children that, if you go to fix their clothing or their ribbon, you just want to adjust if their ribbon or their button is unbuttoned, and they flinch. That's a red flag. You go to the bathroom, and they don't want to take down their pants or just standing there, or they don't want to go to the bathroom mall. That's a red flag. All of these are signs of some kind of abuse to these children going on. If you say
backing
something
out
with a firm tone and they start to cry, that's a sign of flag. Excessive aggression, withdrawn. You know, if the child is all happy and bubbly and smiling and talking normally and they're associating with their peers, all of a sudden they withdraw, that's a sign. I've seen it with the parents also, women coming in with sunglasses and it's raining outside, just are not coming in at all, or they always have some kind of excuse. I've seen it all, and this, it gets these kids to where, like Stephen and Danielle were saying, it's a straight path to the pipeline. And this little boy, he sees his dad hitting his mother. He's coming to classroom. He's being aggressive. He's using all these adult words he shouldn't be using. He's calling these little girls bitches and hoes and everything like this. That's verbal abuse. I've seen it all the time. We have social workers on site, and they're always working overtime with these kids. And it's really truly an epidemic, because nowadays, you know, when we were growing up, we was like, you know, men are supposed to hit women, and, you know, but now people aren't teaching their sons, you know, more now they're teaching the sons, hey, if some woman hits you, hit them back, you know, or, but they don't care.
Yeah. I was just listening to a radio show, and the popular, they were saying, they were asking about it was a man that had hit a woman and she came back. No, she had hit him. She had hit him and he came back and hit her so hard that it broke her jaw. And now they're talking about attempted murder. And they were saying, do you think it's attempted murder? And I wasn't surprised, but I was disappointed at the voices. You know, you can tell people of color, you know, usually, I say 80% of the time, by the inflections of their voice. Most of the people with African-American descent were saying, and it was men too, and it was just jarring to me that they were like, well, these days with women, if a woman's going to throw a punch, she better expect a punch coming back her way and don't act surprised. And this is a new era and this is 2019 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, but where was the pretext? What was the antecedent to her feeling that she had to hit this man? Yes, she might have been wilding out or whatever and he said the wrong thing. But what if he did hurl at a verbal assault at her, you know, or what if she got her punch in before he could? I don't condone the domestic violence of any type on anyone for any reason, especially somebody that you say that you're supposed to love. Somebody that you're supposed to love, hell, somebody that you're even supposed to like. You aren't to be raising your hand to. Your hands are only to be used in violence and protection. A lot of victims of domestic violence, they are in straight survival mode. They are in straight survival mode. There is no logic. There is no the only time the logic and the planning starts coming in is when they've had enough. And what I mean by having enough is they know that it's either leave or die, or something happens to where their children become involved, and they know they got to get their kids out of there, or they find a window to where they can get some help. A lot of times, victims of domestic violence feel a level of isolation that is unparalleled. And that level of isolation may or may not be accurate. That level of isolation could be just that that's how they feel because of the shame.
True.
You feel stupid. You feel, how could I let this person fool me? How could I let this person put their hands on me? But now that I'm here and I'm in the middle of this, how do I leave? How do I leave, like, in my situation? That person, and I use the term loosely, that person lived in the same apartment complex I lived in, worked at the same company I worked at. I later found out that they had taken my keys and had copies made. So it was an environment where there was nowhere for me to go at the time until I figured out and I found a way that I could leave. When I left, I worked for a school system, and when I left, it was during the summer because there was summer break, which means that there was a break from seeing that person. And the last big argument we had, I was left alone long enough to throw everything I had that was at his place and run it, literally run it to my place to call maintenance, tell them to change my locks now. And I locked myself in my apartment. Because a lot of times you only have your word against their word. When the authorities are called, sometimes the authorities will take the man's word over yours.
And that's right. They will. You're right. You're so
and
right.
So
they do.
That feeling of isolation is deepened. And your children see that feeling of isolation, and they see that feeling of nobody cares. And, again, that funnels right into the pipeline. Because kids tend to believe everything is their fault.
True enough. Okay, I got a quick question for you. Quick question,
yes.
Real quick. Chrissy, you're free to chime in on this one also. What do you think can be done? We all know that the pipeline is going to be something that's going to be ongoing. But what can we do as people who are doing what we're doing? And there's a whole lot of people out there doing it that can help with the pipeline when this type of atmosphere comes into the household. What can we do?
I believe take away the shame.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You take away the shame. Make it a safe environment.
Okay.
Above all, victims of domestic violence have no security. They don't feel secure. So if you can either provide, suggest a safe place, a hand, not a hand up, not a hand out, but just extend a hand, a human hand, and another thing that helps is, for God's sake, people, get out your bubbles. Quit saying, that ain't my business, she grown, blah, blah, blah. You see somebody in trouble, just because they are not physically drowning in a lake, don't mean they can't breathe.
That's so true.
Get out,
Christy,
your bubbles.
Chrissy, do you have anything to say?
I agree, because a lot of times I think, like Danielle said, people are scared to say anything because you don't know what kind of verbal threats these women have had on them or the men. You know, you tell somebody, it's with children too, I'm going to do something to you, I'm going to do something to your family. And it's a mental control. I think we need to, like Danielle said, stop making them feel so embarrassed and stop trying to judge. You can't judge because you haven't been, unless you've been in that position, you can't say what, you know, you can always say, well, I would have done this. You don't know that because you haven't been there. We need to be supportive. We need to be listening. We need to be trying to be empathetic as well as sympathetic, because until we understand this is a problem, this is a pandemic across our country, across the people, across our children, it's not going to end. Like Danielle said, no, I ain't going to worry about that, you know, because that you can't wait until you want to get involved when you see this person that you saw got hit in the grocery store. Oh, she's dead now. Then you want to be like, oh, man. But we need to be supportive. We need to reach out. We don't need to turn our backs, turn our ears, and turn our hearts. We need to have some safe places, some havens where these women, these children can go to. Because
if they feel like,
well, nobody's going to listen and everybody's going to judge me, and then they won't tell. And then they're going to end up keeping the sister cycle is going to keep going and going. It's going to be generational, generational, generational. It's going to be a revolving door.
And that's the main thing, what you just said right there, generational. We have to get away from generational stuff. Well, you know, my grandma didn't do that. You know, my grandmother said, don't tell nobody when that happens. Keep that in the family. No, don't keep it to the family. The family effed up. I'm sorry to say that. The family's effed up if they tell you to keep it in the family. No, don't do that. Because, see, right now, the next generation of kids come up, they see it. So now they're going to take it. And that's the whole problem that people need to realize, that these kids nowadays are not the kids that we were growing up. Shoot, me and Danny and Chrissy talk about that all the time. These kids nowadays are not like it was when we were going to school.
Nope.
I never would have thought about doing half the stuff that these kids are doing. Having sex in school, cussing teachers out, hitting teachers with chairs and spitting on teachers. I never ever would have thought about doing that. You know, and see, that's the whole problem. There's just too much these kids are allowed to see and allowed to be around.
Mm-hmm.
The pipeline is getting bigger. The pipeline is getting deeper. It's really turning damn near into a lake. That's what it should be called, the lake line. That's exactly what it should be called now, because it's just deep, and you drown in it when you get in there, and you can't get out. And so that's the reason why we have this group here. That's the reason why we have the people here trying to help these kids, that keep them from the pipeline, show them they are better than that. You are this type of person. You are a leader. I tell my friend Danny's son every day before he goes out the door, you're a leader, you're not a follower. I tell Chrissy's son before he goes to school and we talk on the phone, you're a leader, you're not a follower. I tell my daughter that, and she's in college. You're a leader, you're not a follower. So it's taking us parents to show up. Hey, tell your kid, hey, grab him, say, hey, come here, I love you. You're a leader, not a follower. You don't have to follow Johnny. If Johnny's doing something stupid, let Johnny go up there and just be stupid by himself. I don't care about your boy or not. Hey, Johnny, cool. Hey, Johnny, I'll see you tomorrow. Maybe. I might see you tomorrow. I don't know. I might not see you. You acting like that. But anyway, you come on home. That's what needs to be. And, you know, don't be mad coming home and tell your parents what has happened. Because, you know, us as parents need to open up the door and say, look, you could tell me anything. You have to be like that now. That it's no longer, oh, God, keep it hush-hush. Like I said, keep it in the family. Don't tell nobody. Come and tell me. I'm dad. Come and tell me. You know, you might hear my mouth. Yes, I might go off if it's something I know you know better. But you know what? I'm going to let you have your time to say something. And I have learned that. And Chrissy and Danny know. I was a rough one to deal with children, with my daughter. I was hard on her. But you know what? Now that I have grown, started getting through this type of stuff and going through now with the prisons and stuff like that and the type pipeline, I see my mistakes as a dad. But, you know, that's why I try to tell guys that are dads now. Even these young guy kids growing up who have kids now. Think about the high school kids got kids. There's kids. Kids in high school got kids, and our friends, our age, got grandparents.
Like my friends in high school that I graduated with, they're all grandparents. And they, Chris, you got no grandkids? No, because I was not pregnant in high school. A lot of my friends were pregnant in high school. They have grandkids. And they was like, you ain't got none yet? I said, no, I do not.
No, so you know, we know, I know your mama.
I have to, everyone, I have to, we're coming to a closure now. I want to thank all of you for being on with us. And, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for introducing your team. And I want everyone to know that what was discussed today was very interesting, because these are some of the issues that do lead to the school-to-prison pipeline. And, Stephen, you got it all covered. I want to thank you so much. Danielle and Chrissy,
thank
I want to thank you for being on with us. And we will pick up on this next Friday, the 16th, and it will be at the same time, 6:30 to 7. Stephen, again, I want to thank
you.
I want to thank your team, and I want to really express my appreciation for you sharing all this information you shared on why some of these youth end up in the school-to-prison pipeline. Thank you so much.
Thank
if there's
you.
Any last-minute things
thank
you want to say, we have about 30 seconds.
I want to thank everybody. You guys, like I said, if you guys have any problems, male or female, gay or not, if any problems with domestic violence, that type of stuff, please reach out to one of us, Stephen Bobo on Facebook. I got Daniel Andrews on Facebook, and I got Miss Wilson, Chrissy Wilson on Facebook too. So reach out to us; we can talk. We're not here to judge, and we're not going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You ladies,
thank you so much, everyone, and we will see you. We'll speak with you next Friday. Thanks again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
Okay. You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.